So the official stance is that there's nothing supernatural going on, but that doesn't really explain why sometimes when folks walk by the house and look in the windows, they see the face of a small blonde boy looking back at them.
Stop!
We invite you to join us on our hunt for all things spooky.
We're here for the tricks and the treats.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Easy Bake Coven.
Good evening.
Okay, I was just watching the weirdest fucking Instagram reel, and I was like, as soon as it like showed up on my screen, I was like, exit, because I don't want this audio. It's like a fertility doctor. That's like, it just came up on my feed, and it's like, and he's like, this is the case, this is a scenario. Like, what do you think is wrong? And then, and then the next video is like, this is the solution. Like, he gives like, or like, this is the answer. This is the diagnosis. So like, as you popped up on the screen, it was like, the semen was actually going retrograde back into his bladder.
Haley, that would be totally fitting in this podcast.
I was like, exit. I don't want to think I'm some kind of a weirdo.
Sorry, too late.
Too late for that.
We're 77 episodes in. They know by now.
I wasn't even thinking about dear listeners. I was just thinking about you.
Oh.
Look what I have.
Oh,
Kim
my
Crawford
God.
Is in a can at Costco again.
How is it?
Alert. It's perfect. Oh God. It's delicious.
Is it in the same section as where the wine is at Costco?
Yep. It's like a little box of like...
oh, my God.
I think 6 cans, which is 2 bottles.
I need to look. Every time I go, I look for the wine bottles and they're never there. And I'm always so sad.
How was your hot night out on the town? Hot because you looked great.
Oh, that's very sweet. I literally just threw on the sweater after a full day of shooting and not looking great.
Oh, you're adorable.
And the hot date was with me, Dad, and Ben, and Eloise. So
Your dad and baby were there.
Yes.
It was
super
a cute
great.
Family night out.
Yeah. It was basically a let's not make dinner at home. Let's go somewhere. You know,
sometimes that's how the evening unfolds.
It is. And I had a beer, a big beer, which is a lot to me now. And so now I'm drinking tea because that was enough alcohol for Lisey for the evening.
I was like, when you were like, okay, I'm on my way home, I was like, okay, I'll crack open this can of Kimmy and get started. So that I can be fun and amusing on our podcast.
Haley told me that tonight I need to light a candle.
You do.
Wow. That match lit way better than I expected
that was
it to.
Cool.
And then went out. God damn it.
Do it again.
These matches always suck.
It's a little match. Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah. Oh, balls. That one broke. Jesus Christ.
Okay,
there we go.
The dark spirits from beyond are really fucking with you tonight.
Yeah, this does not bode well.
Don't let your phone die this time. Where's your oil lamp?
I'm already not looking forward to the walk back.
I am on your behalf not looking forward to the walk back. I was like,
the spirits really hate me
because at least
it went out.
To walk back. Oh my God. There's some sinister energies at play here.
Oh, there are. And I just fucking, Jesus, I just burned my finger on that.
Oh, no.
I've gone through like 5 matches. Oh my
That's my
God.
One of my favorite smells. So at least match smell.
What are other, you know, weird smells I like? I like the smell of a gas station, like when someone walks out and like the smell of the gas station is on their clothes, like 7-Eleven.
Weird. It's very
like
Florida
smell,
of you.
It is. I also like the smell of like gas from like as it's going.
So does Russ.
And. Really?
Yeah.
See, I knew we were
little weirdos together.
Mm-hmm. I also, this is the really weird one.
Oh no.
I don't like the smell when it's on someone's clothes or like left over, but as someone smoking a cigarette, I love that smell.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. But I hate it like on
you
on
hate
clothes
like, or, like a smoker, the smell of a smoker.
Yeah, that's gross. But as it's coming out, I'm like, that smells. And I've never smoked. I've never been a smoker, but I just
funny?
Like that smell.
In another life,
addiction,
you were a
they
smoker.
Know how to do it. Yeah, I guess
yeah exactly.
So. Mm-hmm. How are you? What's been happening?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Starting
I saw
to
you went on
fall-ish.
A beautiful hike.
Yep.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. It's starting to get a little fall-y here. It's like that time of year where it's like freezing in the morning and I'm like bundled up with a sweater. And then by 2 p.m. it's like 80 something and I'm like sweaty and hot. I'm like, motherfucker, what do I wear? Like what? So we're going to have like a few weeks of that, but I don't mind it.
No. It's like the fun shoulder season.
Yes. where I sometimes show my shoulders.
And only we're all luckier for it.
You got frost.
We did. Yeah, I thought of you. I was like, it came.
It's September.
I have not even looked at the vegetables. I'm like, not even going
to. It may not have been a killing frost. Back. It might just be a little baby frost.
Yeah, you maybe may still a have baby. Time. Yeah. But today was beautiful. And I'm looks shooting so this, like I told videos. You, this campaign for Visit Anchorage. And so yeah, I was just driving all over trying to get shit. And yeah, it was really pretty. It was just a really nice day. So.
And was your assistant cooperative?
She cried a little bit. Okay. That bitch doesn't want to work.
I cry at work too. I get it. Well, not anymore. Now that I'm a therapist and I'm always front facing. In the hospital, true, I would cry in the hallway. Yeah, it happens.
Do you realize that my assistant is going to be 6 months on Friday?
That is so insane.
I almost want to cry just thinking about it. Like half a year has gone by. Disgusting. How has that happened?
That's crazy.
My assistant is my baby for anyone tuning in for the first time.
Like, wow, she is skirting those child labor laws. Can they do Alaska? Really? Can it's they a different assist you? It's a different place up there.
It's the Wild West out here,
the
y'all.
The rules are different in Alaska. They can hire infants.
This is funny. When I lived in Skagway, we did something called Newsies where any kid who wanted to could basically hand out these like newspapers at the cruise docks at 7:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And they would dress up like they were from Newsies.
Cute.
And they got paid. It was like, it was good. It was like $15 an hour. They got a free treat in the morning. Like it was really fun. They had a party at the end of the year. Yeah. They worked for like an hour.
Yeah.
And adults like me would have to supervise them, which sucked for me because I had to wake up
annoying ass little fucking kids who are like theatrical little shits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or not theatrical and hated that they were doing it, even though they signed up to do it. So it's like, what? You don't
they wanted like video game money. And then the time came and they were like, this is not who I am.
100%. But every summer there'd be a tourist and was like, what are the child labor laws? Aren't they supposed to be in school? I'm like, it's July, Nancy. It's summer break. And they get to choose what they want to do.
This is my son. So he is just at work with his
all
mother.
All of these are my sons. I'm Mormon. You dumb bitch.
That is wild. People are funny.
Yeah, so people are. Keep your mouth shut, people. Unless you're us. We get to open our mouths wide and say
if
whatever
you want
the
to talk shit,
think.
Start a fucking podcast. It's a lot of work, but then you can say whatever the fuck you want. And blast it on the radio waves.
Yes. Yes. Oh, Lord.
Okay. So tonight is my contribution to the welcoming of spooky season.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So I thought, I just was like, what would I cover? I don't want to do cryptid because you just did vampires. And
which is
so
like cryptid adjacent.
Which is like, cryptid adjacent. Mm. So I was like, well, we know I love hauntings. So tonight we're going to go on a little tour of some of America's most haunted places.
Oh my God.
A little bit of history, a little bit of spookiness. It's kind of like our favorite thing.
All of our favorite things.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Like, I could have gone on forever. So I just have a bunch and we'll see how long. It might be a 4-hour episode.
It.
I'm just kidding.
I'm ready.
And there are some.
I've got enough
I was
kerosene
do.
In this lantern.
Okay, good. Hey, Laura Angles. There was like some where I like started like, okay, typing up my thing. And then I was like, no, I'm going to do a whole episode about this. This one is too big.
Yes.
So that was kind of nice too.
That's great.
My only disclaimer. Okay, no. A few disclaimers. We're going to talk about a lot of death of children, suicide. This is our nation's history, so it's not great. A lot of people die. The other thing is there are a lot of haunted, quote-unquote haunted plantations, asylums, mental hospitals. I am not touching any of that is very like problematic, and I just don't even want to dive into it. I'm sure there are really cool haunted plantations, and also I just don't feel like it's something that you can exploit and be like, ooh, this is fun and spooky.
Yeah, no.
Let's talk about it.
People suffered here. Let's
It's funny. When I was maybe right before I went to grad school, I worked for many years supporting kids and young adults with developmental disabilities, and I worked in like a recreation and leisure program. Mostly like kids and folks in their early 20s with Down syndrome and autism, and then like other various developmental disabilities. And at that time, I was like, yeah, haunted houses. I mean, like the same that I am now, like spooky stuff. And one of my, like the director of the place that I worked was talking about this like abandoned asylum somewhere that was charging people like, I don't know, $100 to go, like spend the night there, And I was like, yeah, that's like, that's so cool. Like, you know, like and he was like some of our guys, some of our older participants were institutionalized at one point, especially people with Down syndrome. And they're like, and he was like, it was horrific people endured so much abuse, like this is not ever something that we should exploit, like there was real trauma here. And I was like, oh, you're right, duh, yes, of course, yes, right. But it's hard though, because like there are so many really cool looking and very creepy seeming, like, you know, quote unquote insane asylums. So you know, if that's your jam, go for it, but I'm not going to touch them. So if you're wondering like why doesn't she have such and such on her list,
good disclaimer,
I make the rules. So
this is our podcast.
Yeah,
bitch.
You can go visit the asylum by yourself. I'm not going. Okay, when I talk about them, I want you to Google what they look like so you can have a mental picture.
I will get a web page up.
Okay,
right now.
The first one I'm going to talk about is the Mercer Williams House in Savannah.
Oh, I love Savannah.
I've never been, and it looks so cool. And just after doing this research, I want to go there. You've been before,
but I will tell you, yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. But Charleston is where it's
better.
Even cool. Like Savannah feels like the bigger city, and Charleston is like, you're walking in history, and like there's signs all throughout the town that say like this happened here in 17 whatever, and this happened here, and the streets are brick, and there's so they have like the old like oil lamps,
like the gas lamps and stuff.
Oh my god, it's so good. Oh, and like there, we walked by old cemeteries that were like lit by the moonlight.
Yes.
It's just perfect. And but like Savannah is like adjacent to that.
Yeah.
Okay, I really like imaging.
Beautiful, right?
Beautiful.
And like just looks like a perfect place to be haunted. Mm-hmm.
I can picture a dead child in that window. Sorry.
Oh my god, Elise.
Oh my god.
No.
Stop it.
I just got goosebumps.
Stop it.
Oh my god. Okay, okay, just wait.
No.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe you said that. Okay. So this house was designed for a Confederate general named High Weedon Mercer by an architect. No, his name was Hugh.
His name like, that does not sound like a Confederate name.
I can remember writing that. I have these stupid fucking fake nails on. That? I've not been typing properly. His name is Hugh. Jesus Christ.
Okay. Oh, hi, Hugh.
Too much wine already. Okay. Mercer, by an architect named John S. Norris. And Norris was born and raised in New York, so he was like a fancy New York architect that moved as an adult to Savannah. And he was really successful. He designed and built a bunch of houses, churches, lighthouses.
Cool.
Oh. All around Savannah. So they broke ground in 1860, but they had to pause construction during the Civil War. Norris, who was from New York, the architect, was like, bye-bye, and went back to New York, and Mercer served as a general. So I looked into it because I was trying to figure out why he didn't finish the house after the war, and I couldn't figure it out. I read a little bit about his history. Do you know the singer Johnny Mercer?
No.
If you like, it's like old-timey like music from maybe the 40s-ish.
Like I've probably heard the song.
Yeah, like the OG versions of the song Baby It's Cold Outside is Johnny Mercer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, this is his great-great-grandfather, I think. Just fun trivia. Wow. Anyway, so this guy, High Mercer, attended West Point, and he was expelled for participating in something called the Eggnog Riot.
Oh, hell yeah.
Simpler times, you know, and also much more complicated times in some ways. Yes. Okay, so he was briefly imprisoned after the war with other Confederate generals, but from what I read online, he returned to Savannah and he worked as a banker, which is kind of crazy. They were just like, okay, well, back to normal life. You can have a job.
Yeah, back as it was after we killed thousands of our brethren.
Crazy. So for whatever reason, I don't know if it was like a status thing or he didn't have the money anymore. He sold the house, and a new man named John Wilder completed it in 1868.
Wilder? That's always his middle name.
Uh-oh. Oh,
no.
Not good. This is not boding well for you at all tonight. Lock your doors.
This is not going. I have to walk back in the dark. This is not good.
So the house seemed to change hands a number of times over the next 100 years, and for a period of time, it was a Shriners Temple. Which I personally find sinister because I think all of the old clubs and organizations have weird occult ties and origins and just like, you know, the full name of the Shriners is the Ancient Arabic Order of Nobles of the Mystic Shrine.
What?
That's the spookiest shit I've ever heard in my whole life.
Why didn't they keep that? So much more.
Because it's so long.
So spooky.
They're just Shriners for short. Yeah. So I'm not going to like feed conspiracy theories. Yes, I am.
But
there could be creepy goings on with the Shriners in the house. I don't know. Just like picture a mysterious secret society meeting in that beautiful home.
Yeah.
So eventually,
I'm looking at a picture of the living room right now, and I can picture exactly what went on in there with the Shriners.
Human sacrifice.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Satanic something. Mm-hmm. Wish I was there. Anyway, eventually the Shriners left, and the house was abandoned for at least a decade, which is so sad. And then this part is really sad. So content warning if you don't like hearing about children dying. So everyone skip ahead, because fucking no one likes hearing about children dying. So in 1969, an 11-year-old boy named Tommy Downs entered the home, allegedly chasing birds. Because it was abandoned at this point. Some people say that he was playing. Some say that he was hunting pigeons. It's unclear. But he went upstairs, either to the roof of the house or to the second floor balcony, and he fell to his death. If that weren't tragic enough, he fell directly on the wrought iron fence and impaled his head.
Oh, yeah, my God.
So bad. There are rumors that he was pushed by some force, seen or unseen. Allegedly, a friend saw the whole thing and said that it was as though someone pushed him, although he was by himself.
Or maybe the friend pushed him.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. It was up there and someone pushed him. It was a ghost. Some people say this is the earliest evidence that there were evil forces in the home.
Wow.
So that same year, 1969... the home found a new owner, finally, which is weird that after years of sitting dusty and decrepit, the little boy dies and someone's like, I'll buy it.
So, except you would do that.
I 100% would do that. That's such a good point. And actually, now that I say it out loud, it does make sense, because this guy who bought it was eccentric, to say the least. Mm. A local antiques dealer and preservationist, and also just general man about the town named Jim Williams is who purchased it. In 1955, when he was only 24 years old, he bought three houses in Savannah and began restoring them to their former glory. And the next 35 years, bought and restored over 50 homes.
Jeez, those antiques were raking in the bucks.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that he like flipped them. Like he'd buy an old house, you know, like fix it up, restore it. He knew, you know, how to do that well.
And he had like, the antiques to them. Exactly. Yeah. Sweet.
And then would sell them, I guess. So it took him 2 years to restore this house. And he was so happy with it that he decided, actually, this is going to be my forever home and I'm going to live in this house.
Oh, wow.
There was like a little carriage. Or there still is a little carriage house out back. And he used that to run his antique restoration business. And then he lived in this beautiful home. Like I said, he was super eccentric. He was like a local personality, and he threw these big extravagant parties. He was also gay and like semi-closeted, like some people knew and some people didn't know. Mm-hmm. And he had a much younger 21-year-old personal assistant slash lover named Danny Hansford. Danny had been a sex worker, kind of a challenging past, maybe been involved in some shady stuff. And in the early morning hours of May 2nd, 1981, Hansford and Williams got in an argument at the Mercer house. At this point, they'd been together for 2 years already. And I think that Williams was like in his 40s or 50s. Like he was much older.
Yeah.
So at some point during the fight, it started to get really heated. Danny pushed over an 18th century grandfather clock. They're throwing shit. I know, which is probably like a really like... the worst thing that you can do to an antique preservationist.
Yes.
Williams then alleged that Danny entered Williams' study and pulled a gun, which was maybe an antique gun on display, and attempted to fire it at Williams.
Oh, no.
And Williams claims that the gun jammed.
An idiot.
So while he like had this moment where Danny was like flustered and messing with it, Williams grabbed a 9mm Luger pistol out of his desk and shot Danny in what he claimed was self-defense. Unfortunately, or like I just stupidly, I guess, Williams then staged the whole crime scene to make it appear as though Danny had successfully fired on him and like, I don't know, tried to get the gun working again so that it would look like Danny actually fired at him so he would have a better reason for firing back and killing him. So a half an hour later, Williams called police to report the incident.
Half an hour?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Staging the crime scene. I don't know, like trying
with
to...
with antiques?
He's like, they're going to photograph it. I want it to be my best work. That's good. So he was taken into police custody and he was charged with murder, obviously. Yeah, he was tried four times for the crime. First time, he was found guilty, sentenced to life in prison. Then he appealed it, and the verdict was overturned. Second trial, guilty again, sentenced to life in prison, again overturned after appeal. Wow. And each time it was like a technicality. Like one time they let like a sheriff's deputy testify as an expert witness, but really he wasn't an expert, or like little things like that.
Yeah.
Or like there was a discrepancy in someone's testimony here versus what was written, and that wasn't represented during the trial. Like things like that, where it was like, the nub and gist is about the same.
Yeah.
So the third trial resulted in a hung jury. And finally, the fourth trial in May of 1989, which was moved out of Savannah and held in another town, he was acquitted and he could walk free.
Oh my God.
His freedom was not long lived, however, as 8 months later, Williams collapsed and died at home in the very same study where he had shot and killed Danny Hansford.
I just got goosebumps that went from my shoulders all the way down to my
feet. I have goosebumps and I wrote the script.
Oh my God.
If this story sounds familiar to you, it was popularized in a book and eventually a movie adaptation of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, which I've never
heard of that, but I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
So it's like a very famous story.
Wow.
It has been said that in the months and years following Danny's death, because Williams wasn't always held, like between the trials, he was like a free man, like he still lived at home.
Right.
So in those years and months, apparently he felt Danny's spirit lurking. And after his final acquittal, allegedly even hired a local voodoo practitioner to rid his soul from the house.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Some people felt like Danny's final revenge was killing Williams because he died in almost the exact same spot where Williams had shot Danny 10 years earlier. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
So, of course, with such a rich and tragic history, the haunting stories are plentiful.
Yes.
The current owner of the house until earlier this year was Williams' sister. A doctor who I guess was like a respected person in Savannah, and she kept it as a museum. And she died, I think, in February, because like on a bunch of websites, it still talked about how like she was the owner. But then I found a news article that was like she died. And I think it's someone in her family that's running it, like one of her kids or something. And so it's still a museum. Anyway, she was super dismissive of haunting stories. Like if you asked her about it, she didn't want to talk about her brother. She didn't want to talk about the murder. His death, like, no, there's nothing supernatural going on here, but
come on,
there definitely is. So
also, I'm just assuming that James was flamboyant because he was eccentric, and I'm assuming that Danny was flamboyant. And can you imagine your home being haunted by two super
like
I'd love to imagine like the shit
doors a slamming stomping every day.
Oh,
like, don't ignore that ghost. It'll only
your,
get
like,
worse.
Best dresses would go missing. Like your best shoes.
Like, seriously, Danny, not again.
Come on, Danny. I'll get you your own pair. Just like, please.
You leave get dressed, and he's like, don't leave the house in that. We could do better.
He's not good for you.
Actually, I kind of feel like if I had to choose a ghost to haunt my house, it would be a flamboyant game.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Yes. Now that we're getting into it.
Truly.
Until you get murdered in the living room.
Or like until you do something that pisses him off, and then he like holds a grudge literally forever.
Forever. Literally.
I can say that as a woman who holds grudges forever.
Never forgets.
Never. So the official stance is that there's nothing supernatural going on, but that doesn't really explain why sometimes when folks walk by the house and look in the windows, they see the face of a small blonde boy looking back at them.
Stop.
Just like Lisey. Stop. Yes. So creepy.
Oh my God.
People report seeing a little boy who looks mysteriously similar to Tommy Downs. Some even claim to see a boy falling from the roof.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like we'll come around the corner, catch a glimpse of it, and then when they run up, there's nothing there. Terrifying.
This reminds me of like the house in the first season of American Horror Story.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, all the murder these house. Ghosts haunt it. Yeah, it's like that's what this is.
Totally.
Oh my God.
Apparently, over the years, many a tourist has driven by, snapped a photo of the house while visiting Savannah, and then when they go home and have their film developed, they notice something odd in their photos, a face looking out of a window, something creepy.
Did you see any of these pictures?
Any of these pictures, though?
Convenient.
Yeah, it's just, well, you know, there's a lot of, because it's like all these websites that are like haunted Savannah, and they're like, ooh. Yes. But I'm like, you know what? It's Halloween, or I'm just going to, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely Why true. Not?
But Tommy is not the only spirit said to haunt the Mercer Williams house. Apparently, Jim Williams can't quite quit his habit of throwing the best Christmas parties in all of Savannah.
What?
So he threw like really lavish parties. Oh, and
sounds dreamy.
He threw his last party the less than a month before he died. December of 1989, he threw his big Christmas party, and then he died in January of 1990. But I'm also like, the parties sound fun, but I'm also like late 80s, early 90s, the fashion is not great. Oh,
that's true.
Like what I want is like a 40s, a 50s, decade. Like, yes, yeah, like a Gatsby picturing. Party. Mm-hmm. I guess that's 30s, 40s. Mm-hmm. But after he died, the house went dark for, you know, a number of years, and there was nothing really going on there. But a few years later, reports of these loud parties started rolling in. People going, what's going on at the Mercer Williams house? Apparently, if you walk by on a like a Saturday evening in December, sometimes you'll see the chandeliers lit up, and you'll see like shadows cast on the curtains of like partygoers, but there's not actually anybody inside.
Oh my God. Those are stories that make you wonder, like, is it ghosts or is it like energies? You know, like what is a ghost?
Like something is just imprinted on the place because it happened so many times. Staff who have worked in the house turned museum have claimed that after hours they would see Jim Williams walking up and down the halls of the of his former home.
Oh my God.
Creepy. Creepy. So I looked on Reddit, my trusted and true source, but there wasn't very much. Like a few people who said they went on the tour. It was creepy or it was beautiful. Like a lot of websites that like tell really grand, you know, stories that have no like factual backing whatsoever. Like you can go and see the wrought iron. There's one missing and that's where Tommy fell. But then like an article I read said that it was repaired shortly after. So like who knows, but it's great lore.
Totally.
For us, not for Tommy.
One way to find out. Just gotta go.
It's totally a place I would visit though.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Next, we're going to travel across the country to San Diego, California.
That was the sound of the plane.
I loved it. I was in there with you. We're flying first class.
First class.
That's why I have wine in my hands.
Yeah, exactly.
This story begins with a character named Yankee Jim. Great name. Like every great story should begin with a character named Yankee Jim.
Yankee Jim.
Yankee Jim Robinson had a reputation of being a troublemaker in San Diego. I saw a photo of one plaque that said he was the first person to find gold in San Diego or like in the surrounding area. So kind of cool. He was like a prospector slash cowboy slash thief. Kind of fun. He was a drunk also and a horse thief and apparently was despised by everyone in town. In 1852, Jim and two accomplices attempted to steal the Plutus, which was a ship. Although Jim said later on that he merely wanted to borrow it, which I'm pretty sure is a bit from the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, is it?
Like, oh, I was just going to borrow it.
I'm not stealing it.
So they were all captured. And apparently, like I read in one place, that Jim suffered a head injury from a rusty sword.
Oh my God.
They took him down via rusty sword. Yeah, like gross.
How do you survive that?
I think like the thing that's missing, someone talked about this once and I can't remember who it was, like on a podcast or something, that people forget in all of the stories about anything that's like more than 100 years ago is that like the stench is overwhelming all the time everywhere.
Like, I think about that when I see period films. I'm like,
y'all smell.
Everyone's teeth are perfect. Everyone has the best cleavage. Everyone looks like they're just enjoying the heck out of themselves. It's like, stank.
You bathed in a river 1 week ago. Yeah. Can you imagine? So
and
gross.
The river had dead people in it and poop.
Yeah. It was also the town septic tank.
Yes.
And the town bath.
Well, and the like, town, women like, used to wear like those like metal guards under their armpits and they like had like no panties on because they would just like squat in their petticoats and pee. Just like bleh, just gross.
Everything was dirtier and smellier.
Yes.
Not romantic. So the men were captured. Jim hit in the head with a rusty sword. They were awaiting trial. Jim was given no representation, apparently. and was suffering from a debilitating fever from his head injury.
From his rusted wound.
It seems like people saw this as their opportunity to get rid of this, like, you know, troublesome character once and for all, because the two accomplices were each sentenced to 1 year in prison, but troublemaker, drunk, thief, Yankee Jim was sentenced to the gallows.
Oh, no, Yankee Jim.
So skip ahead if you don't want to hear someone being a description of someone being hanged from the neck until dead, because it's gnarly. This is apparently from a news article from the time.
Okay.
The rope was adjusted around Yankee Jim's neck, and he delivered his farewell speech to the large crowd that had gathered to witness the execution. He told them he'd been a good man and given piles of gold to help poor men. Sheriff Crothwaite finally ordered Fisher to drive on, and the old man applied his whip freely to the mules. Yankee Jim kept his feet in the wagon as long as possible, but was finally pulled off. He swung back and forth like a pendulum until he strangled to death, and thus ended the career of the dreaded desperado Yankee Jim.
Oh, man.
So horrible, right?
I've never heard. I mean, it makes sense.
I know. And, I'm like, but I was thinking the thing where the bottom drops
out.
Yes. Not is like a little more. Run,
rustic.
Yeah, rustic. Exactly.
Yikes.
This is like the Wild West, you know, the town is just being formed kind of gallows.
Also, there's situation. No like neck breaking. It's just suffocating.
Yeah. God.
Barbaric. At least when like the platform drops out, there's a chance your neck will break. But that's not going to happen when the cart just rolls away.
No, pendulum. God. Yankee Jim.
Poor Yankee Jim.
No, thank you. Mm-mm. We're going to come back to him. But in the meantime, we're going to jump back in time and travel back across the country to New York City, where a man named Thomas Whaley was born in 1823.
Whaley?
Literally my dream name. Once, I still remember it like it was yesterday. Once when I worked in anthropology, someone had ordered like an item that I had to ship to them, and the last name was Whaley, and I think they were in like South Carolina, and I was like, I need to go there, find this family, and marry into
and
it. Haley Whaley, can you imagine?
So cute. Do you remember the other day when I was talking to Eloise on video about you, and I was like, Auntie Whaley, and Ben was like, why are you calling her Whaley? I was like, shut up, we've talked about this. That's her nickname. And he's like, I've never heard that. And I was like, stop it. Yes, you have.
You know she loves whales.
Exactly.
It's a whole thing.
I know.
Auntie Mac and cheese is too long, so we just go for Auntie Whaley.
Auntie Mac. I like that, though.
So, Thomas Whaley, the man who should have been mine.
Mm-hmm.
Time and distance just separated us, you know,
in another world, another lifetime.
Another life. Mm-hmm. So, on January 1st, 1849, he traveled out to San Francisco to follow the California Gold Rush. He operated, apparently, a very successful store in San Francisco. And it's confusing because there are multiple places that say different stores that he operated were destroyed by arson. So I don't know if this store was destroyed by arson or if a store that he subsequently owned was destroyed by arson. But just know that at some point in his career, someone burned down his shop.
Okay.
I don't know when it happened.
Assholes.
People, man. Wild West. Mm-hmm. In 1851, he relocated to San Diego and he started a business there. In 1853, he went back to New York and married a woman named Anna Eloise Delaunay.
Stop it.
Yeah.
There's too many things in this episode.
I know. I was like, close to home. Why do we keep tying into Lisey? This is not good.
I don't know.
She nothing horrible happens to her.
Okay, good.
Her daughter, on the other hand.
Oh, no.
So together, they returned to San Diego to begin their life as a family together. They had six children.
Dang.
The first was born in 1854, and the last was born in 1864. Homegirl had a decade of just popping out kids.
Oof.
No, thank you.
Mm-mm.
In 1856, they began construction on a very grand house in the old town of San Diego. I haven't been to San Diego since I was a kid, but I guess there's like downtown San Diego, and then there's like old town. This was the first brick house in San Diego and still stands as the oldest brick structure in Southern California or something like that.
Oh, wow.
The bricks were made at Whaley's Kiln in Old Town. He was like a businessman. He had a bunch of businesses. And the walls were finished with plaster made from ground seashells. It's pretty like fancy stuff for the 1850s. Okay, so the house was super fancy, especially for the time. There was mahogany and rosewood furniture.
Nice.
It was considered a mansion. And the house kind of became a gathering place for the city of San Diego, operating at times as a commercial theater, county courthouse, and a general store.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. It actually, like, they rented out, like, rooms to be, like, part of the courthouse for a long time. And I think it was, like, a few years ago, the city like brought the courthouse back there for a day just to sort of commemorate the history of the building and stuff like that. Yeah, kind of fun. Unfortunately, tragedy began to strike the Whately family as soon as they moved in. Oh, no. They moved in August of 1857, and in January of 1858, Thomas Whately Jr. died of scarlet fever at just 18 months old.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
So sad.
I think the devastation of the loss was just too much, so Thomas and Anna packed up all their kids and moved to San Francisco. They were like, nope, we can't be here anymore.
I don't blame them.
And I think they lived in San Francisco, and meanwhile, Thomas like went back and forth to Alaska and was like setting up businesses there. He was like a really savvy businessman, it sounds like. So they turned their affairs in San Diego over to a Wells Fargo agent. So they kept their business presence there, like, I don't know. They had like a general store or whatever. They kept that going. And they lived in San Francisco until 1868. So after 10 years, they finally felt ready to return to San Diego. So Thomas went ahead of the family, went back and fixed up the old house.
Oh,
and the rest of the family. Oh. Yeah, they kept it. Isn't that crazy? But it just like sat, I think. Or at least parts of it just sat.
To be wealthy.
It must be fucking nice. Yeah. You have like the nicest house in Southern California and you just leave it for 10 years. So he goes back, fixes up the house, updates things, and then the family joins him a few months later. In October of that year, they welcomed this like theater troupe into their home and converted an upstairs family bedroom into a theater for this local troupe. God.
Can you imagine that was your traveling bedroom through being San Diego that
so that they could perform in there?
Oh my God.
Kind of fun, kind of cool.
Yeah.
So for the troupe's opening night, they built this makeshift stage and a number of benches and somehow fit 150 guests into the small room.
Oh my God.
There's a docent at the museum who says that, like, probably they didn't actually fit 150 people in there. It's probably an exaggeration, but they like jammed the room packed. But like enough people that they had like a troupe and an audience. I thought you would like this part. They asked the women not to wear hoop skirts or petticoats so that they could maximize space so that the women wouldn't take up too much room.
Isn't that funny? I do love that.
So the performances went well, apparently. But only 17 days later, the operator of the theater, Thomas Tanner, died and the troupe disbanded within a few months.
Oh, no.
Just stay out of this house, folks.
God.
On January 5th, 1882, Violet Eloise Whately and Anna Amelia Whately were both married in Old Town San Diego in the house. Violet married a man named George Bertolacci.
To each other? That's so progressive.
No.
In San Francisco?
No, they just got, isn't that funny? They had like a joint wedding where they both married.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Actually, you're going to find out it's the opposite of progressive. Oh. Violet married a man named George Bertolacci. And Anna Amelia married her first cousin, John T. Whately.
There it is.
So at least she didn't have to change her name.
Yeah, I was
so
going to say she didn't want to let go of that.
I wouldn't want to lose the Whately name either. Exactly. Both weddings took place inside the home. Unfortunately for Violet, shortly after the wedding, George Bertolacci wrote her a letter in which he revealed his shady past and sketchy reasons for being in a relationship with her.
Oh, no.
He admitted that he'd only married her because he was hoping to inherit some of her family's fortune.
I'm shocked he admitted it.
I don't know why he admitted it. He said that he had a history of being a con artist and that's like what he was intending with her. But he vowed he would try his best to prove his worthiness to her.
Wow, that's a very bizarre turn of events.
Why not just try to prove your worthiness? Like,
right,
why do you have
just
to tell
don't
her?
Tell her. Yeah.
So it's kind of unclear why he would do that. I don't really understand
Interesting.
Thomas and Anna, the parents, were like, absolutely not. Fuck this guy. Like, he's gone. And so this basically led to a horrible deep depression for Violet. In August of 1885, at the age of 22, Violet took her father's .32 caliber gun and shot herself in the chest.
Oh, up until that point, it read like a Jane Austen novel or Charlotte Bronte novel, and now it's just so sad.
Gets worse. Her suicide note read, "Mad from life's history, swift to death's mystery, glad to be hurled anywhere, anywhere out of this world."
Oh my God.
Isn't that so sad?
Also, just further proving that it sounds like a Jane Austen novel. Like, what the fuck? Mixed with Emily Dickinson. Oh my God.
It's a passage from a poem called Bridge of Sighs about a woman who killed herself by throwing herself off a bridge. And I guess the author is speculating what she must have been like feeling or whatever.
How horrible.
so sad. And this happened in the house. She killed herself in the house.
Oh my God.
One of their other daughters, Corinne Lillian. Why do you have so many ties? As soon as I heard Lillian, I was like, Lily, all of your children are the middle names of these children.
This is bizarre. I can never go to this house.
Do not visit. Do not. You are a magnet for this negative energy. They've been waiting for you.
Also, it is very bizarre that the internet has been the worst it's ever been tonight on this episode.
They're like, don't warn her. There's a gay man that's like, Lisi, come play. And you're like, I want to, but not yet. I'm a mother.
Is that a disco ball?
Yeah, late 80s. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I know. So one of their other daughters, Corinne Lillian, was engaged at the time of Violet's death, but her fiance left her due to the scandal surrounding the family. So fucked up.
These poor women.
So after all this tragedy, just brief recap, their baby dies. They leave. They come back. Oh, they like immediately welcome a theater troupe. The theater troupe guy dies. Then their daughters get married. One of them marries her cousin, and weirdly, they live happily ever after. But the other one, who marries an Italian con artist, kills herself in the house. So Thomas is like, "We're going to build a new house and move away to a different area of San Diego. Like, we're not going to live here anymore."
I understand, Thomas.
The Whaley house sat vacant for over 2 decades.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So Thomas, the patriarch, died in 1890. And in late 1909, one of the kids took it upon himself to restore the building and turn the home into a tourist attraction. And they all like moved back, but opened up some of the rooms so people could come and see it. Are you Googling it?
Yeah. What was this one called?
The Whaley House. The Whaley San Diego. House. So Anna, the widow, Corinne, Francis, and George all lived in the house until their respective deaths, the last occurring in 1953.
Wow. This house looks like it belongs in the last place we just talked about in Savannah.
It's funny. It looks really out of place in San Diego.
Totally.
Kind of a weird style. And it's kind of like less grand than I imagined.
Yeah, same.
Times were tough out in the Wild West.
Yeah,
like
true.
This compared to the house in Savannah.
Yes.
Like, it's the most decadent mansion in all of California. Like, well, and you're like, that looks like the shittiest house on my street.
Yeah. It almost looks like, you know, when you're in like a neighborhood and it looks like they've like tried to make the house look vintage. But it was like really built in the 90s. Also, the little side portion really doesn't match the main portion.
No, it's weird.
No. Interesting.
So you might be thinking to yourself, man, so much tragedy happened in that house. So much death and sadness. Was it built on a cursed graveyard or something? And this is where I will remind you of the story of Yankee Jim, who was hung from the gallows in old San Diego.
What?
And where did Thomas Whaley choose to build his house but the exact spot where the gallows had been built?
Stop it. I forgot about Yankee Jim until this very moment, and I'm chilled to the bone.
Creepy.
What the fuck?
Construction began just a few years after Yankee Jim was hanged. And there are some people who say that Thomas Whaley witnessed the execution.
And decided to build his house there?
And then decided to build his house there. Isn't that like sinister?
Fuck. Yes.
Kind of creepy.
Oh my God.
Okay, get this. In 1860, Thomas Whaley wrote in his journal that he often heard footsteps upstairs and thought they belonged to Yankee Jim.
Nope.
Like back then it was haunted. It was haunted in the 1800s.
Oh my God. Yankee Jim was like, I'm cursing this bitch and taking back what is mine.
You watched me die here and then built your quote unquote grand mansion.
I will
destroy
you.
The place where I died.
Oh my God.
In 2014, a surviving great grandson of Thomas Whaley and his wife donated original family furnishings to the museum, including a baby crib, which is now in the museum.
Oh,
it's really creepy.
Yeah.
The journal of daughter Lillian's dated 1925. And in it, she wrote, "Here I am, 60 years of age, living in a haunted house." So like the family knew that it was haunted then.
Wow. You know, when they admit it in their own personal journals that it's true.
Yep. Yep.
Oh my God.
So the combination of like spooky, sinister origins mixed with decades of tragedy and death has resulted in what many people call the most haunted house in America.
Wow. Fascinating. Yeah. Had you heard of this place before?
Uh-huh. But just like in like BuzzFeed articles or whatever.
I'd never
heard of it. There's more stories about this one, like employees and stuff. So I'm going to read some of
them. Tell me.
One story comes from a former Whaley House employee, and people have reported seeing the apparition of a little girl in the dining room. The employee says that it's the spirit of Annabelle Washburn, who is a playmate of the Whaley children. And the story goes that while she was outside playing, Anna ran into a low-hanging clothesline, breaking her neck. I'm like, can you clothesline yourself hard enough that you break your neck? Right? That feels not...
I need to watch out more often because I'm quite clumsy.
dude, me too. I feel like this one's maybe a little far-fetched, though. So the story goes that Thomas found her and placed her in the dining room table where she died. But there's no record of the child or the incident. So this one might be just like, folklore. But I'm still going to tell the story because it's Halloween and I'm going to take creative liberties that I might not usually take. I found a blog by a man named Richard Schult, who documents cool things around San Diego, and he wrote about his experience of visiting the house. So this is a quote from him. Three of the docents I spoke to during my recent visit related their own bizarre experiences. Two docents once saw a gilded cup in a display case begin to vibrate for no apparent reason. Nothing had shaken the house or the case. No other artifacts near the cup moved. The cup's peculiar motion continued for 30 to 45 seconds, they attested.
What the hell?
Another docent told me that she twice smelled lavender perfume inexplicably while sitting near a window in the upstairs theater. Nobody was nearby. And there's a whole bunch of stories of people smelling like a fragrant floral perfume when they're upstairs.
Perhaps like a violet perfume.
To cover up how disgusting they all smelled.
It's like, I smell lavender with a faint undertone of BO.
Body odor. Just really rancid. This is the end of his quote. Several years ago, when I passed the Whaley house and spoke to a docent standing outside the front door, they told me they'd heard inexplicable footsteps in the theater and had seen a strange shadow moving on an upstairs wall. The cashier in the gift shop next door had seen the same weird shadow.
Oh, no. I don't like weird shadows.
No, I don't even like regular shadows. No. I don't know. Okay, here's a few Reddit ones. Yes. This is from Commodore, but the O's are zeros.
Oh, of course.
That's his username. His? Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. It could be a woman.
Yeah.
He talks about his wife, so I assumed it was a man, but...
Same-sex
marriage is legal, Haley. Like, fuck.
This isn't 18, whatever it was, when Violet had to marry your cousin.
You know, they could have been cousins. I don't know. Okay. Here's a quick story that happened to me decades ago. It was a late, warm summer night. My wife and I had just gotten done playing board games at Game Town and decided to have a late-night picnic behind the Whaley house because we were hungry. So we set up a blanket atop the brick walkway between the rose bushes behind the Whaley house. It was probably 11 p.m. in early October, and the only light we had coming from... was from those torch poles. We're chatting away when both of us froze and looked at one another at the same time. It was as if a cold coastal breeze came as it got damn cold all of a sudden, but there wasn't any wind. Literally none. Maybe 2 seconds pass when we faintly hear two kids giggling in a trailing tone away from the house, followed by a rustling in one of the trees. The coldness nearly evaporated once the tree branches shook and we decided it was time to pack it up.
Yeah.
We still walked through the cemetery on our way back, but it was still one of the oddest moments of my life living here. I do think there's something about that place that we simply couldn't rationalize a common explanation. No wind, no animals about we could find, no kids anywhere as there were no people anywhere nearby. While I do not believe in ghosts being spirits per se, as I grew up in a haunted home as well, I am tempted to believe in items having energy, an imprint, like a record that plays back the past, something like that.
Kind of cool. I also want to know who these people are that are having picnics at 11 p.m.
behind a, like, next to a cemetery? Because I think it's like house cemetery is right there, apparently.
Like, let's just put our food down here.
After going to Game Zone or whatever.
Yeah, like, excuse
that sounds
me?
Like Matt's dream life. And like, first combined of all, I'm not going to go play some games with you. And then second of all, 11 o'clock at night, I will have been asleep for 2 hours already.
True.
Lord. Okay. This is from, I can't even say this username. Just trust that it's from Reddit. You can go find it if you want. Mm-hmm. Someone asked if anyone had ever had crazy experiences there. And this person goes, yes, been there a few times and the energy is palpable. Ooh. Good and bad vibes. The staircase was the most intense experience for me. As I descended down the steps, I felt as if someone was right on my ass. Almost as if someone was in a hurry to get past me.
I was going to say, Danny. Oh, wait, that's a different kind of house.
Well, funny you should say. I turned around expecting to see a tourist in my personal space, but there was absolutely no one on the stairs. I felt queasy as I took the last few steps. I actually had to leave the house immediately. I felt a sharp cramping sensation in my gut and an anxiousness to get the fuck out of there. That didn't stop me from visiting the Whaley House repeatedly. In fact, I'm visiting Old Town mid-October to stay in the Cosmopolitan Hotel, room 11. I love Old Town. I was going to Google Cosmopolitan Hotel, but like my list is long enough.
Yes. Oh my God.
So then someone responded to that and said, girlfriend and myself actually both got a weird weak knee sensation on the same stair coming down the staircase. We didn't say anything at the time, but later we were going home and I asked if she felt anything weird. And she said, yeah, on the third stair down, my knees gave out and I felt the exact same thing.
What?
Creepy.
Okay, we got to go do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know how we've talked about doing like a mom's trip with our kids? Let's just do like, we go haunted to haunted places.
That would be amazing.
Come on, kids.
God, I'm so down with that. Especially because they're like so in tune.
No.
Okay, the story that I just skipped, I'll summarize, was someone talking about how fucking weird their kids started acting. They're like 1-year-old and 3-year-old. And like the 1-year-old was like laughing and giggling at nothing.
No.
The guy was like, it's as if we were watching Cocomelon.
Ew. Yikes. Yeah. Except creepy. It's ghosts. Ghost melon.
Okay. So I found this TikTok on the internet. I don't have TikTok. I don't venture into that dark corner of the internet.
Me neither.
But the account was called Got Ghost. Oh, yes, I wish I did.
Love that.
And in the video, this girl asks an employee if he's ever seen anything weird or experienced anything strange. And he goes, have you been in the nursery? Like the kid's bedroom. He goes, did you see that doll laying on the bed? She's like, yeah. He goes, often I'll close the museum up at 11 or 12. I'm the last person here. I leave the doll in the middle of the bed. And when I come back in the morning, I'm the first person to open and the doll is in a different place.
Stop. So creepy. That reminds me of this little tangent. We have one of those like owl statues on one of our gates, like that's supposed to like ward to scare off away. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Ben and I both swear that thing turns. Like, we'll be like, did you turn the owl? He's like, no, I didn't turn the owl. And it's like high up, so like you couldn't easily turn it.
Is it wind? I hope it's wind. Oh my God,
I don't know. No, because there's been really windy days and it's not turned. It's
oh
like,
oh my God, it's alive.
And it's infrequent enough that you're like, has it always been turned that way? No, it hasn't.
Oh my God. And we asked like a trail cam on it.
I know. We asked my dad. I was like, Dad, are you turning the owl? He's like, no, what are you talking about?
Spooky.
Yankee Jim.
Yankee Jim, what are you doing in Alaska, you hoser?
Yeah.
Go back to California. You only haunt such a large territory. Okay, last one.
Scary.
This is from a BuzzFeed article. So apparently a police officer has had, or like multiple police officers have had paranormal experiences at the house. More than 30 years ago, the officer had responded to a 911 call from a concerned citizen reporting a woman crying outside the Whaley House. What he witnessed was something. Apparently, this officer only revealed what he saw in his retirement letter decades later. When the officer came onto the property, he saw a woman at the back of the house crying and mentioned she was in period clothing. The officer asked, ma'am, are you all right? Causing her to then turn around and smile. When the officer shone his flashlight on her, the woman vanished.
Gross. I hate that.
I know.
Also, the smile is like not a sweet one. It's like very sinister and creepy and scary.
So sinister.
Yikes.
Okay. A lot of people say that Thomas and Anna Whaley themselves are seen in the house. That Thomas will be seen on the upper landing where he's wearing his pantaloons. People like describe his outfit. And some people report that he blows tobacco smoke in visitors' faces. People will suddenly smell tobacco smoke and feel like someone is smoking right in front of them. And Anna Whaley is typically seen in the garden or in one of the downstairs rooms. She's been spotted wearing a green gingham dress, sipping tea in the parlor.
Oh. Like a Christy Dawn advertisement.
Basically my dream. Yeah. I would pay $400 for that dress, Anna.
Okay. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why do you think, and this is not fun, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why are the only ghosts really ever seen in period pieces? Mm. Why aren't they just...
Have you seen the meme that's like, where is the ghost in a juicy tracksuit saying it's totally. Britney bitch at 3 a.m.?
Yes, thank you. Exactly. Like, where are the modern ghosts?
I totally agree.
Maybe it's because we're not like touring houses of modern people because it's still modern times.
That's true.
Maybe.
Or maybe. We don't keep people's old shit in their house to go look at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because some people feel like there's like a tie to, yeah, like belongings.
Yeah, I don't know. But you'd still think people would like report hauntings of like, I just bought this house and a guy just died in it last year and oh my God, it's totally haunted.
This is true. Although, like I felt like my house was haunted when we first moved in.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
But who's to say? Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not going to talk about it right now.
No.
At 10:15 p.m. in my house.
No.
Matt was gone all last week and he's gone next week. And I'm like, Matthew, I'm so glad you're here this week.
Yeah.
Last night, I was like, bad week. He's gaming. I was like, hey, I'm going to go to bed now. You going to come upstairs? He's like, have you been researching for your podcast and you want me to come upstairs? I was like, yep. I'm not going to bed alone. Usually I go to bed alone.
Get
I was
your like, ass tonight? Up here.
We'll not be alone tonight. So I have a few honorable mentions that are not as like
fleshed
large,
out.
But I still want to talk about them. Mm. The first one is the Queen Mary ship in Long Beach, California. You know it?
I don't know details, but I've heard of it and that it's haunted.
I wanted to talk about it because I visited and went on the ghost tour as a child.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you have pictures of ghosts?
I have no photos of ghosts, but this is before digital cameras. So maybe I have photos of ghosts
in your mind.
A box of fucking pictures in my mom's basement, maybe.
Okay, great. I would love that.
So for those of you who don't know, the RMS Queen Mary is a retired British ocean liner that sailed primarily on the North Atlantic Ocean from 1936 to 1967 for the Cunard White Star Line and was built by John Brown and Company in Clydebank, Scotland. She sailed on her maiden voyage on May 27th, 1936. She's got a lot of cool history. In World War II, she was converted into a troop ship and ferried Allied soldiers during the conflict. And in 1939, they painted her gray and she was nicknamed the Gray Ghost.
Ooh, cool. I love that.
Uh-huh. Apparently, she transported 800,000 troops. And this is kind of insane. And I had never heard of this before. In 1942, while carrying 10,000 troops, she collided with her escort, the HMS Curacoa, C-U-R-A-C-O-A.
C-U-R-A-C-O-A? Yeah.
Curacoa. Curacoa. Anyway.
Like Curacoa. That sounds cool. Mm-hmm. Like a snake or something.
Okay. So she sliced that boat in half. And
holy shit.
Allegedly.
She's an angry bitch.
I did not fact check this. I'm just going to assume that whatever article I read it in was correct. Because of the threat of the enemy nearby, the Queen Mary was forced to leave the 239 crew and ship to perish beneath the sea.
Oh my God.
It's pretty dark. Pretty dark.
That's horrible. Was she called the ghost ship before that?
She was called the Gray Ghost during the war because she was like painted dark and she was supposed to, you know, like
how
ferry
haunting that
troops
she then
around.
Like took the lives of so many people and left them
and left them there.
Man.
Also, I like how we're like, she did it when really there was one guy in the control room that crashed and then made the decision to leave.
Totally.
Well, she's a spooky ship.
She, that bitch.
Yes, the guy in the control room's like, yes, blame it on her. Mm-hmm. Sinister.
Wasn't me.
So after the war, she was refitted for passenger service again, and she still did her transatlantic voyage. She and the Queen Elizabeth dominated the transatlantic passenger transportation market until the dawn of the jet age in the late 1950s. Mm. And by the mid-1960s, she was aging and operating at a loss. So after several years of decreased profits, she was retired from service and sailed into the port of Long Beach in California, where she has been permanently moored. The city bought her to serve as a tourist attraction. There's restaurants, museum, and a hotel. And different folks have like operated the business over the years. And I guess in 2021, there was like a big change because she was in like really bad shape, basically, after COVID. Like they needed to do extensive repairs to keep her from sinking.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. All in all, roughly 50 people died on the ship over the years.
Wow.
And this is what I remember from my ghost tour. Okay. So when I was a kid, everywhere we went, I wanted to go on the ghost tour, but nobody else wanted to go on the ghost tour. Like, I remember it being in San Diego, in Old Town San Diego, and they had like a nighttime, like late night ghost tour. And I was probably like 9 or 11. And I was like, we need to go on the ghost tour. No one else in my family wanted to do it. So, you know, we spent a lot of time in California growing up because that's where my mom is from. And we went to Long Beach and we went to the Queen Mary. And I was like, please, can we go on the ghost tour? And my parents were like, sure. And I was like, fuck yes. It was so cool. It was really spooky. Yes. They had like cool special effects.
Oh, I love that.
And this is when I was a kid. So like early 2000s, maybe. They had like a projector and like, they had like a steam machine, so it looked like there was like ghosts flying around and stuff like that. It was really cool. And like, you know, as a young kid, like I knew it was fake, but it was like creepy.
Yeah.
The one that I remember the most is that an 18-year-old engineer by the name of John Petter was crushed to death by a watertight door in 1966.
Man.
It said online that it was during a fire drill, but I remember them talking about how the guys would play a game of chicken where they'd like close the watertight door and jump back and forth.
That's
and
the
he got
dumbest
cut
thing
in half.
You could do.
That was like what the projector special effects was like him getting cut in half and then like
that,
the
like,
two sides floating
was
around.
Was imprinted on your brain. You're like, this internet is wrong. I remember.
I saw Queen Mary and I was like, the floating ghost. So they say people see like the two halves of his floating ghost.
Ooh,
like
I hate
haunting
that.
The ship. I love it. Only because I've seen the early 2000s animation, whatever, special effects.
I wonder
effects
if they still do thing. That. I hope they do.
I wonder. And then the other one that I remember from the tour was they say a young girl haunts the ship in the empty swimming pool because she drowned in the pool or something like that. And I remember that they had, like, when you went into the pool, it was like creepy sounds of like wet footprints kids' laughter and like dripping and stuff like that.
Yikes.
It was really cool.
How sad to think of haunting a pool that is empty. Like,
where did all the water go? Can't even drown anyone.
Yeah, truly.
How dark a presence can you be when you're like,
really?
Well,
just
could do some fucking kickflips if someone gives you a skateboard.
Exactly.
The ship's Queen Salon also contains many reports of paranormal activity with a woman in white. Reported to be a first-class passenger sliding across the floor in a long gown dancing to a silent orchestra.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Very beautiful. Some people say that the spirits attach themselves to the antique furniture or personal items that remain on the ship. Suite B340, which used to be three third-class rooms. Is that right? Third-class?
Oh, my God. I thought you were saying a Reddit user's name.
No,
Sweet B30.
No. Like a suite on the boat.
Yes.
Used to be three like third class rooms, and they put them all together to make a suite. And apparently it's super haunted. And like lately, now they're really leaning into that. And they're like, ooh, yes, we're very haunted. Come, tourists. And so you can rent that suite for $499 a night.
Oh, wow.
And if you stay in the room, you'll be offered a ghostly package, which includes a chest with a Ouija board. Tarot cards, a crystal ball, and ghost hunting equipment.
Haley, we need to stay there. What the fuck?
Like, wouldn't that be so fun?
Oh, yes, it would.
I would totally do that. I would totally do that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, this is that the only list. Way I get you to do a Ouija board? Is on
I
board
wouldn't, no, I wouldn't do a Ouija board. No, I wouldn't do a Ouija board. Especially not there. Are you kidding?
Come on.
In this evil ship that
I have you on record
open a boat.
Saying, I would totally do that. I would totally do that.
Oh, as in like I would totally stay in that suite. I'm not messing with the dark energies, Lacey.
Okay.
The Skeptical Inquirer obviously has things to say. Joe Nickel has opinions. They don't think it's haunted. They're like, they are ignoring the real valid history of the ship to focus on like cheap ghostly tricks.
No, we're not. We literally just talked about it all.
Exactly. We're talking about real people who used to live and have a little fucking fun for once in your life.
Do you ever wonder how we would actually talk to Joe if he were a guest on our podcast?
I would have sex with him, Elise. I would fangirl, and then I would give him an OTPHJ. You know what that stands for?
What?
Over the pants hand job. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't.
Oh, my God. Oh
After
my
having
God.
Seen a photo of him, I would not.
Sorry, Joe.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Sorry, Joe. Maybe I would. Let's keep a little mystery
there. That shriveled up old thing.
I literally would fangirl, though. And then I would want him to like me for sure.
So we could not talk men, all though. The shit that we do. Fucking Joe.
Fucking Joe Nickel. No, I think that like we could have like a fun, playful relationship where I'm like, Joe, why you gotta spoil my fun?
Come on, and Joe.
Be like, Haley, you need to be more skeptical. And maybe like, Joe, enjoy your life.
And stop being Joe, so pessimistic.
Is the chemistry between this building?
Is it getting hot in here? Or is that just my fireplace?
Or is that just me?
My hormones.
It would be so much easier if he was hot.
Yeah.
Although the bit wouldn't be as funny, would it?
I don't know. I think it'd be still pretty funny.
Okay. One more honorable mention.
Okay. Wait. Okay. Aside from the ghost tour, did you feel like it felt haunted?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to say this. No, I felt nothing.
Oh.
It was like, it was spooky for sure. And you go down in like the engine rooms. It's like Titanic. It literally felt like Titanic.
Totally.
And the boat even kind of looks a little bit similar. Well,
I was thinking like, of Titanic when we were talking about this story. So,
yeah. And like you go down in like the big engine rooms and it's like very empty. There's no one there except for your ghost tour. Bless you. Thank you. So it was like spooky, but I didn't see or feel anything. And I was open to it, even at the age of like 8. Like
we're always open to it.
I was born open to it. Okay. Last honorable mention.
Okay.
At an hour and 10 minutes. Whoops.
No, okay. We're doing great.
Have you?
This is excellent.
I'm doing a lot of California in here. The Winchester Mystery House.
Been you know there. It? Have a fun story.
Okay, I've been there and I don't have a fun story, so this is good.
It's not, my story's not scary.
Oh, okay. So I'll preface this by saying I have been there. I felt absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's strange. Yeah. But I learned a lot when I was researching this, which I didn't realize that I would. So if you don't know about it, the Winchester Mystery House is this mansion in San Jose, California. It was once the personal residence of Sarah Winchester, who was the widow of William Wirt Winchester, who started the firearms company. The house became a tourist attraction 9 months after she died in 1922. It's ginormous. It's an architectural curiosity. It's Victorian Gothic style mansion. A little bit about Sarah Winchester. In 1866, she gave birth to a girl named Annie Pardee Winchester, who did only live for a month. She had some horrible diagnosis.
So then
between the fall of 1880 and the spring of 1881, her mom, father-in-law, and husband died.
It's pretty bleak.
So sad. Mm-hmm. So she was left with a large inheritance from her husband, but it wasn't as much money as it's sort of made out to be. And a lot of the Winchester fortune was left to her mother-in-law, who didn't die until much later. So in 1884, her eldest sister died. Like, she just can't catch a break. So and around stress. This time, she started developing rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. And her doctor suggested that a warmer, drier climate might help improve her health. So she moved in 1885 at the age of 46 from New Haven, Connecticut to California. So basically, the narrative that's sort of portrayed at the house and in the media is that she met with a psychic who told her the ghosts of everyone killed by Winchester rifles are coming for you. You need to start building a house and never finish building it. And you need to like confuse the ghosts so they get lost. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's actually not at all true. Like that never happened. Do you know that?
Yeah. Like I remember touring the house and they're like, yeah, it's not haunted. There's no, that's all bullshit. Like,
yeah. But then apparently some of the like, there's like a script that the tour guides are supposed to like follow that like says all these mistruths because it's like flashier and more fun.
Interesting.
Yeah. So like the house is crazy. She was like the designer and like construction manager, which was really uncommon for women at that time. And if she didn't like something, she would just like tear it down and make them start all over. So apparently there was a 7-story tower that was torn down and rebuilt 16 times because she wasn't happy with it.
Oh my God.
And the house is like a maze. There are stairs that go to nowhere. There are super steep stairs. There are super shallow stairs.
And the I remember learning that the super shallow stairs were because of her arthritis.
Yeah,
right?
I read that.
I'm a person with long legs. I'm tall. And so it was really awkward to walk those stairs because they're so shallow. Like it just felt... Not nice.
There's like doors that go to nowhere. There's windows on the interior of the house.
Do you have in your notes? I can't remember why, but there's like spider web designs throughout the house, like in different areas. And I feel like it was something about protection. I can't remember it, but it's beautiful. There's like all these like spider web.
I didn't read it.
You know, infrastructural, architectural designs throughout.
And then apparently there's something about the number 13 and all these different things. But like apparently a lot of it's not true and like was made up later. And what's crazy is the rumors about her being like an eccentric, shut-in, wealthy heiress who was building this insane house started while she was still alive and while she was building it.
Yeah.
And there were like newspaper articles at the time of people being like, leave her alone. She can build whatever monstrous mansion she wants. Mm-hmm. There are other people in Santa Clara who do the same thing and we don't make a comment on it. And it's also funny because like this narrative that she should feel like guilty or bad for having contributed to firearms didn't exist at that time either because
interesting.
Like they said, like it was seen as a really good invention and they were like necessary for survival in the Wild West and stuff like that. Like people thought like, yeah, no, this like these are good things. Mm-hmm. There wasn't like any vilification of them really.
Mm. So it's a modern thing.
Yeah. So I don't, this is one that I felt like I had to mention because it's kind of fascinating and because I went there. And it is really weird when you go inside. It's like strange and maybe some insight into her mental health, which was maybe not great because it's fucking like a really weird house. And of course, Skeptical Inquirer and Joe have things to say about,
of course,
how there are like logical reasons for all of the things. And as the house expanded, she just didn't remove interior windows like that became interior but used to be exterior. And I'm like, but like, why not though? Why not remove the windows if you're going to expand the house? And like, how many years was it? I didn't write this down. It was like decades of constant construction.
Yeah, it never, it just, I think it was like it until, never she ended
until she died.
It just, yeah, like there's so still parts that are not the rumors. Finished. Totally. Yeah. Like another.
Okay, what's your story?
This is not scary at all, but yeah, so Ben and I went there on a California road trip. And I remember when we were driving like up to the house, we saw this guy, these two guys, and one of them was in this like this horrible button down American flag shirt. So like one half was like the stars and the other half was like the stripes. And
which he had is on a violation of the fucking flag code or whatever. Totally. You're not supposed to wear it on your clothes, Patriot.
And he had I'm always confused. Is it a bolo tie or a bolero tie?
Bolo.
Bolo. Okay. What's a bolero?
Oh, I'll just Google that real quick.
I never know.
Is a bolero like a little, like that little shawl thing?
Like I don't know.
Yeah, bolero is like a little jacket.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's bolo tie, bolero's a little jacket. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had on like a little bolo tie and he had on like a cowboy hat. And we just were like, look at that guy. That's something. And then we go get our tour and they like have this area where you can like take pictures with like a rifle, like, and there's like a backdrop and it's super corny and cheesy.
Yeah,
exactly. And he and his friend that he was with were like super serious about it and like taking like really, like they looked like they'd be like
fanboys, rifle fanboys,
or like at
like cosplaying,
and like super nerdy, just like so nerdy.
Oh, interesting.
And so they were on our tour and we're like, oh my God, these guys, like they were just
these fucking idiots.
So we're walking through the tour and like there's like old fashioned music playing. And there was like music from the 50s. And I said to Ben, oh, I love this music. It's so nice. And this guy turns around and he's like, you know, they have they offer swing dancing lessons in town, you know, like almost like the way he said it was like inviting me. And Ben and I were like,
m'lady. Well, actually,
yeah, that's exactly how we talked. It was like he was just always in this character. So we're like, okay,
can intel.
No, I'm with my boyfriend, but thanks.
We don't live here.
Yeah. So fast forward, the trip's done, whatever. And you know, you should all know on the show by now that Ben and I like watching some bad reality TV. We just really like it.
Guilty pleasure.
So one night we're watching this show called Age Gap Love, I think is what it's called. And it's basically the show about people who have a huge age gap and they're in love. And it's a documentary. And we're watching it and I'm like,
no.
Wait, that guy looks familiar. Wait, that's the same American flag shirt. Wait, that takes place in the same town where the fucking Winchester Mansion is.
Oh my God.
That's the guy. And we've talked about how we appreciate age and an aging woman, but the woman that this guy was with, the age gap was extreme.
Oh,
and there is footage of him giving her foot rubs and just things that I did not need to see. And I went back through my photos because I was like,
I know
I have a picture of this guy somewhere, and I found it, and it's the same fucking guy.
Oh my God. Will you please send me these so I can put them in the episode photos?
I'll try to find it. Fucking age gap that love, man. I was
incredible.
Just
incredible.
I remember the moment on my couch, like, wait, no,
that's the fucking guy. That's the m'lady fucking guy.
M'lady swing dancing.
That is amazing.
So that's the only haunting I experienced.
That's the most haunting thing that's happened in this whole episode, Lacey. Oh my God, it's just very deeply disturbing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's kind of actually a fun story to end on, so that you don't have to be scared for your walk, your walk back to your house.
Yeah, I'm really glad we ended with that. Really glad. Oh my God. That was so good.
Just a little wee tour.
What is it about haunted houses? They're just
creeps me right out.
Yeah, there's something so creepy about it.
Russell goes, I said, oh, Russ, you know what we're going to talk about on the podcast tonight? He goes, what is it, Mama? I said, haunted houses. He goes, can I stay up for the podcast? I was like, no, absolutely cannot. But he's going to ask to listen to it. I'm like, because he's doing this thing lately where he'll be like, Mama, there's someone under your bed.
Stop it.
Yeah. Mama, do you see that smiling face in the corner of my room?
No.
When I'm laying with him in bed at night? I'm like, fucking stop. No. I'm like,
what do you
Russ?
Do?
Oh my God. I'm like, there is no smiling face there.
While you're shitting
or like
your
I turn
pants.
It into a joke and I'm like, just don't look, Haley. Don't make eye contact with the fucking shadow
oh
person.
Oh my God.
He like jumps off my bed the other day and I'm like, why are you doing that? He's like, come with me. Come with me. I'm like, what do you need? He's like, I just don't want anything to grab me from under your bed. I'm like, stop.
So creepy.
Are these the moments where it sucks to be an adult?
100%.
I'm like
someone
can
look under this bed. It's not going to be fucking me. I didn't look. I still haven't looked. There could
no,
be someone under my bed right now.
Never look. Never
That's not my
look.
Job.
Even when you move, leave the bed there.
Never look.
And then when you
I know
move
the robot
into your
vacuum
house,
goes under the bed when our house cleaner comes. So.
Oh, good. When you get it, when you move into your new beautiful house, get a bed that's really high with
just,
like just
or
stick
just,
legs.
Like, sits right on.
Oh
the,
yeah,
the
or
floor.
Sits on the bed. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what? I'll be a college boy living in his first house with roommates
just
and just have a
mattress
fucking
right
mattress on the ground.
Oh God!
Creepy
I thought we were ending
shit.
On something not scary. That's the most terrifying thing we've heard all night. Yes. Does it feel like they're like growing? Like I feel like they're happening more frequently. These
yeah,
experiences.
I think it's because it's spooky season. He's like getting into the spirit, but I just don't know where he came up with that.
I remember my dad telling me this story that he was, I think he was a kid or a young adult or something, and he woke up in the middle of the night, and in his closet he saw, I think it was a black man in a white suit,
what the,
just
fuck?
Like standing there. And then it what? Just like slowly faded away.
I was like, fuck, Dad. No.
Oh my God.
So scary.
I think I had like a night terror, like a sleep paralysis once when I was a kid, because I still remember it really graphically, that there were like people and things all around my room.
Ooh.
And I was like, maybe like 8 or 9. But like never again. That sounds like the worst thing to me. Like night terrors or like sleep paralysis sounds like the fucking worst.
The worst. Remember in, I think it was was it the first season of Haunting of Hill House where she has night terrors?
Yeah.
And she can't escape it. God, that's so scary.
That's why I medicate myself at night. Pass right out.
I can't wait till I'm not breastfeeding and I can do that as well.
Fucking chill. Just good night, world.
See ya.
See y'all tomorrow. The house burns down around me.
Oh my God.
What a way to go.
I won't know.
Yeah. See you on the other side. I'll haunt this bitch.
Pass peacefully in my sleep.
Try to build a house on me. I'll haunt the fuck out of you.
I hope to haunt wherever I die.
Mm-hmm. Well,
or
let's
like,
make
or
a,
come
let's
back
make
in a fun
a,
way.
A pact right now that should whoever dies first. I was gonna say should one of us die. One of us will. We both
one
will.
Of us will die.
Whoever
oh God,
does
how
first.
Will we tell? How will we tell the other that we're there?
Yeah, what will we do? Let's say it now for all to hear, so that it's set in stone. What will
what
you do?
Will I appear as.
Maybe I'll break a bottle of wine in your house. All of a sudden, it'll just break out of nowhere.
That. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry to waste your wine.
No. I would love that. I'm going to be a frog. You're going to find a frog in your house.
Oh, wow. Yours is like very much more possible. Okay. Also, every time I see a whale, I'll think of you.
I was going to say, like, I'll be a whale. And I'm like, oh, you might not see a whale, though.
Oh, I live in Alaska. I'll see whales.
That's like, you know, Christy Dawn. Yeah, obviously, you know, Christy Dawn. Know.
Very well, unfortunately.
When her mom was like, I will be a moth. Like, I'll come, like, I'll be a moth. And they see moths, like, all the time now. But this is what is even weirder. Like, right after she died, like, a month after she died, because she just died of cancer. Like,
that's so sad.
A moth got into her house and she was taking photos of one of her boys, like getting up close to it. And in the photo, there's all these orbs. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Which I'm not really like a big believer of orbs, but like that's kind of
weird. Sometimes
when
the shoe fits, like it works.
Yeah.
My friend Tracy, I can't remember if it was her grandfather, her grandparents or something. They loved cardinals or something to do with cardinals. And when one of them died, they would see this cardinal all the time. And then I think it was the aunt, somebody else died. And then suddenly they were seeing a second cardinal. Like they were together all the time. Oh my God, it was really cool. And when Nana Bev died, or before she died, I guess all the kids made a pact that like we'll let each other know that we're okay, like we're doing right now. Yep. And my Nana Bev died of lung cancer because she was a super heavy smoker, like a packs a day. And my aunt and I guess other people in the family would smell cigarette smoke throughout the house, even though they didn't smoke themselves.
Weird.
So expect spooky bottles of wine to be breaking.
At least I fucking get it. Please. Okay.
I just got
this. This is an expensive habit.
So you can't keep cans of wine throughout the house.
I'm going to say, will you rupture a can?
To break the bottle.
The drama is with the glass.
I have a flair for the dramatic.
I appreciate it. I was going to say, I'm forward to it, but I don't look forward to it.
Let's take it a step further. Every time you spill wine,
that's me. Lisi, looking down on me.
Stop doing the business. Now.
When I spill wine, I'm going to be like, all the way from Alaska, her love has found me here. Yeah. Matt's going to be like, what the fuck are you smiling about? You just dumped out wine all over the counter. I'm like,
it's just Elise
loves me.
Elise is still alive, you know, Haley. Yeah, no, it's just in our
spirit. Just sending her energies. Duh.
Oh man, that was so good.
Thank you.
I loved it.
A little fun, a little spooky.
Yeah, perfect entry into Halloween.
As always, it's like the rich history and family tragedy that so fascinates me the most.
So much so. Yes, that one about the guy getting hung and all the way that was chef's kiss storytelling.
Thank you.
So good.
I'm waiting for Hollywood to call. I look forward to adapting that for the large screen.
We will be directors on the stories that are not ours to tell.
At least consultants.
Oh my goodness. Well, I have a titillating missing woman to talk about because it's happening right now, and I think you're going to have some things to say about poor gal. Okay, so this is in Virginia, and not only is a woman missing, but her children are missing as well.
No.
Her three children, I should say.
No.
Her name is Lauren Elizabeth Cook. She's 30 years old. Her children's names are Benjamin, 7, Hannah, 5, and Elijah, 2. She was last seen at the family's home in Southwest Virginia at the end of August, and she last spoke with her mother on September 5th. September 19th when we're recording. And here's where things go south. Her husband says, I've spoken to her. She's fine. I don't think she's missing. There's no need for you to be concerned.
Oh, no. We killed them all.
Meanwhile, her bank account has not been touched. Her phone has not pinged. There is no sign that Lauren Elizabeth Cook is alive and well, other than what the husband has said.
And let me guess, he was the last person to see them all.
Well, just as she was last seen at home. It doesn't say who was the last person to see her. But her husband has told this TV station, a local TV station, that his family's fine. But the sheriff is like, we haven't heard from her. We haven't heard that. We've tried to get in touch with her and she's not responding to our inquiries.
No.
And so we are saying that they're all missing, all three of these people. If they are alive and well, they say they may be traveling in a 2013 blue Chrysler van with a Virginia license plate. the fuck? I swear I just felt something at my feet. I thought, I like literally thought it was a cat at my feet. Cat.
I didn't hear any cats this time, if that makes you feel any better.
What the fuck? Like I felt something against my pants. And there's nothing down there. I really hate this.
It's a very big rat.
Stop it.
No, that's better. Isn't that better?
No, because what if it bit my toes? I have my Birkenstocks on.
First mistake, wearing socks. Not wearing socks while recording a spooky podcast.
True. Outside in the cold. Okay, anyway.
You had your first frost last night, Lacey.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I need to put real shoes on. Never. I wear these things in the snow. Okay, anyway. So her husband, Jordan Cook, this is his exact comment. Contrary to what has been reported, my wife and children are not missing. I have no reason to be concerned about their safety or well-being. I've heard from my wife, and I'm sure she and my children are doing well. We ask that our family's privacy be respected at this time. Like, you're sure they're doing
also,
well?
Also, the police said she's missing, you dumb fuck.
Right. Like, why don't you tell the police where she is?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Share your correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Law enforcement says that they have to lay eyes on her and the children in order for them to be removed from the missing system. And so anyone with information about the missing family is asked to contact the Franklin County Sheriff's Office or their own local law enforcement agency.
How scary.
Yeah. Let's hope that...
Maybe they escaped.
Yeah.
They left him, you know?
Maybe so. It's weird that her bank account hasn't been touched. Her phone hasn't pinged. I feel like in this day and age, there are so many ways to tell if someone is active. Like, there's so many different forms of social media and what have you. There's no real information about her looks, like, listed, but she's just a pretty white girl, long brown hair, brown eyes. Her little daughter's a cute little blonde thing. All her kids are little blonde babies. So let's just hope that they're found. Scary. It's just so sad. And scary that every time I type in missing woman for this podcast, there's new stories.
Like every day.
Single
Literally
time.
Every day.
Yeah.
Probably every hour.
Yeah.
Have you seen this trend of like what men think about the Roman Empire every day? Have you seen this?
I asked my dad and Ben. And my dad was like, I've seen this. I don't get it. I never think about the Roman Empire, ever. And my dad's a very history buff kind of guy. Yeah, he knows his history. He loves reading about history. And Ben was like, yeah, I don't either. I was like, what, like once a year? He was like, yeah, if it's brought up.
Matt's like daily.
Oh,
daily.
My God.
Oh, daily. But I was like, you know what women think about every day, Matt? Not being fucking murdered by men. Not being dismembered. So I think about being murdered and dismembered every day. That's the intrusive thought that I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually had a thought of murder today because Eloise and I were driving around and I was like, oh, maybe we should. Uh-huh. Oh, actually, it was last night because I was photographing the Northern Lights. And I was like, oh, what if I went out to this great spot? And I was like, nope.
Could
get murdered. Can't do it.
Yep.
Can't do it. Wouldn't happen if I were a dude.
I'd like to go to this such and such trail with Russ. And I think, I should probably bring Nelly if I'm going to go there.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. Like, I should probably only hike where there's lots of other people and I'm going to be safe. Mm-hmm. And how unfortunate is that?
Not fair, man. Not fair.
And I know there are a lot
of women.
Please,
spend all your time thinking about the fucking Roman Empire. Right?
I know there are a lot of women who are like, fuck it, no, I'll be safe. I'm like, but there are times when you're not. Like, remember there was that story a few years ago of the blonde, cute little girl who was hiking with her dog and the guy passed her, they talked, he pet her dog, and then he laid in wait for her and then came back, killed her dog and killed her. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit is not crazy. It happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
It's fucked up that we have to live this way. Like, when you walk to your car by yourself at night, do you put your keys in your knuckles like Wolverine claws?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I was explaining that to Matt. He's like, what? I'm like, every woman does this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that if someone attacks us, we can Wolverine them with our car keys.
I also said to Ben the other day, I was like, you don't, when you get into your car at night, do you look in the back seat? Probably
not. Do you look in the back seat and then lock it immediately?
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I lock my car when I'm like... If someone just is walking near it, and I'm like, oh, lock it. Nope, don't trust you.
Mm-hmm. Even though my car locks automatically when I start driving, I'm like, double
lock,
check.
Lock. And then I think, oh, what if they heard me lock it?
I know, I think that too. Like, no offense to you. It's just that you're a penis, so you're more likely to kill me.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. The world we live in, man.
What's a good thing in your life, Aunt Lacey?
We took Eloise for her first camping trip.
It looked so good.
It was so good.
She looked so happy.
She was. It was just the sweetest thing. So when we first woke up in the morning, she fell asleep in my arms around the fire, so she like didn't see that we went into the tent.
So she's like, where the fuck am I?
She woke up crying, like, what the fuck is going on? You could see she was like looking around.
Where
like,
what are the hell? We? What is happening?
Yeah. And then I turned on the headlamp, which we had hanging from the roof of the tent. And then she calmed down and was like, oh, okay, okay.
Oh, it's you guys. Oh, yeah. Right.
Calm down. And she woke up so early. So we only were up for like half an hour and then she went back to bed. And then when we woke up for real, she was calm and happy as can be waking up. And then when we opened the tent door, she like couldn't believe it. Like she was
we're in nature. Yeah.
She like would look outside and then back at us and then back outside and back at us. Like, oh my God.
That's so sweet.
It was so cute. It was so cute. And then in our hatch, our noisemaker that we have next to the bed, we leave it on that red light at night, like we've talked about.
Yeah,
and the panels in the tent are red, and so the light coming in was kind of like a red, and she was just staring at them like, this is, you know, this is similar.
It's kind of like home.
Yeah, but she just, it was just, she slept so well. She like slept better than she does at home, which is just bizarre.
Hilarious.
I didn't, because I was just constantly worrying about like, can't keep all the blankets off of her, make sure she's safe the whole night. But yeah, it was great, and I'm excited to do it again next year. So,
yay!
Yeah, it was really.
I'm so glad.
Thank you. Okay, what about you? What's your good thing?
We went for this wonderful hike on Saturday.
Looked so beautiful.
Outdoorsy gals.
I know, it looked gorgeous. So,
we've been in Canada like every weekend. Like every weekend has been spoken for this summer. Either like we had commitments or like things that we had to do, or we went to Canada to be with family because my grandpa was dying. So it was like, you know what? Like, let's go for a hike. That's one of those things that like I want to do all summer. Yeah. And then we just don't really have.
That's how it was with camping. There was like no time.
Summer got away from us.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's go out to Tahoma and like just go for a hike. And I was telling my therapist this on Thursday. He was like, so we're like hopefully going to go out for a hike on Saturday. And she was like, oh, let me tell you about this loop that I used to take my kids on when they were little. I was like, fantastic. Thank you. So that's the like place we ended up hiking. I was like, thank you, therapist.
It looked gorgeous.
It was beautiful and like relatively easy. Like I was like out of breath climbing at times, but I was never like,
God, this sucks.
I need to stop.
Why like, did we
I'm
do
in
this?
Horrible pain. Yeah. It was like, okay, this is a good workout.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like it's like easy to moderate. Like 3.5 miles.
Nice.
And, like, really beautiful views.
Perfect.
And like,
wrestling.
A bunch of alpine lakes. Yeah. So yeah, it was just really lovely.
Nice.
Yeah,
that sounds great. Fun. And Russ liked
it. Nice to move my body. Oh, he loved it. He, every day since he's asked to go back. I'm like, so we can't go every day. We can go again sometime
soon. It's a little
soon.
Far.
Yeah.
Like, I related to what you said so much, though, in your caption where you were like, every time we do this, I think we need to do this more. And I have so like, many experiences like that. Like, why do I not do more of this? Like,
why did we never come out this?
Yeah.
Like, or so come out good. Here. Like, yeah. It's really not that far.
Why do
it was
we
like
never
an
come
hour and
this?
20 minutes off the south end.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interestingly. I just can't speak. Had a lot of wine.
Have I ever told you the story? So you know Katie, and everyone has heard about Katie on this podcast. And we ran a newspaper
friend
together.
Of the podcast.
And she once put out a headline.
Oh no!
That went to print and into everyone's mailboxes that said "Feeling Pretty Ketchikan," which is the name of a town in Alaska, and it's not a way to describe how you feel.
What did she mean to say?
I don't even remember. She would know, but I remember it went to print and she was mortified. Like, oh, that's my God.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm like, what play on words could you pass that off as?
I don't know.
Just, you know, it's a new saying. Feeling pretty catchy.
Yes, it happens, right? Yeah, you know, that's we get so tired. Funny. We drink too much wine. Shit hits the fan.
You drink a whole can of Kimmy. That's equivalent to... couple glasses of wine.
Oh, I love that for you.
I love it for myself too. This mixed with my sleep aid.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be drooling on my pillow.
So jealous. So jealous. Okay, friends, send us DMs. Follow us, subscribe, go to our website, easybakeovenpodcast.com. Instagram, easybakeovenpodcast. Send us an email, easybakepot@gmail.com.
Boom.
Boom. If you live in a haunted house, we want to know.
We want to know. We really want to know.
Details. Send us the
pictures.
This
is spooky season.
Yes.
And if you have a little baby story that's just 3 minutes long, you can be on an
episode. Yeah, we would love that. You know what? Let's flood our DMs with little stories and we'll make a whole babysode of stories.
Yes.
I would love that. So
your creepy stories.
Yeah.
You're makes so my fun. Life easier.
Yeah, and makes it creepier.
And I love the shit out of it.
Love it so much. And if it has pictures, oh my God. even mm-hmm. better. We can offer mm-hmm. you nothing except credit.
And our unconditional love and support.
Yes.
Our
yes.
unconditional positive regard.
Yes. Totally. And everyone on the podcast will love you and thank you for it. So mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm.
On that note, dear friends, don't forget to keep it spooky.
And make it sweet.
Happy hunting!